So we're holding by Malachim Beis, where at Perek Dalid Pasuk Zayin, the shiur started as the Schussi Lenishmas Yecheskel Shraga Ben Avram Yehuda, should also be a Schussi Lenishmas Moshe Ben Daniel Chaim Elazar Ben Shem Shenaryeh, as well as a Schuss for Furt Tema Chaim Moshe Shua Ben Malka Chaim Deb Ben Rachel and Chanalei Bas Shein De Rachel. It should also be a Schuss for all those in a Makam Sakana in Eretz Yisrael. So we learned last time about the miracle of the oil, the pouring of the oil that was done for the wife of Avadya, who had no money to repay her creditors, and that she closed the door and she was able to continue pouring from keli after keli from the jug of oil. So Pasuk Zayin now, after the nace finishes, Vatove Vatagid Lisha Elikim. So she comes now and tells Elisha about what happened. Vayomer, Elisha instructs her, L'chimichri es Hashemen, go and sell the oil, B'shalmi es Nishyech, and go and pay your creditors, V'atu V'nayech Techi B'noisar, and then you and your sons will live off of whatever remaining money you have. So essentially, she comes back to Elisha after the miracle finishes. What was the purpose of her coming to Elisha, and why does Elisha give her instructions as to what to do next? So the simple pshat is that she came to thank Elisha. Elisha was responsible for the miracle. He was the shliach of Hashem, and so therefore she came to thank him. Many tzaddikim have said that they only hear about people's problems, and they often don't hear about the Yeshuas, they often don't hear about the good news, or the Yeshua that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought about, but they only hear when people are bitzar. So here it was nice that she came to Elisha to tell him that there was a happy ending after all. The Rabbak says that since she only had the oil thanks to Elisha's intervention, so she felt she had no right to get rid of it, to sell it, without getting permission from Elisha first. Rashi says that she was asking Elisha whether she should sell the oil immediately or whether she should wait until the price went up even further, meaning that she didn't know what is the extent of the miracle. Is it that the price of oil is going to continue to go up and that the miracle will continue when the price goes up even further? Or should she sell now? And Elisha tells her that the miracle of the flow of the oil and the rise in the price are part of the same miracle, and therefore she should sell the oil immediately. And we can presume that once she sold the oil, the prices went back to their normal levels. The Radak brings down in the name of other Mefarshim that she asked Elisha a question, a halacha question. Is she required to take maisris, trumas and maisris, from the oil? Does the halacha of trumas and maisris apply only to something that grew normally from the ground or from a tree? Or does it also apply to oil that came into existence through a nace? So Elisha told her, you can sell the oil and there is no chiyuv to take off trumas and maisris. Chaimus Hanach gives a different shot, and it's based on the Gemara in Tainis and Av Chavtalit Amid Beis, where the Gemara says that a person really should try not to have ana from something that came about through a nace. So therefore, the woman was asking Elisha, is she allowed to now go and sell the oil in the marketplace now that the prices have gone up, or is that going to fall under the principle of not getting hanah from a nace? To which Elisha responds that no, the increase in the price in the market is not a result of a nace, and therefore she can go and sell it and then use that funds to live off of and not have a problem of ein lehanos mimaisei nisim. And that's why Elisha says tichi benoisar at the end of the pasuk. You can live off of the remainder, meaning whatever profits you make from selling, that is not under that is not considered to be as a result of a nace, and therefore you can get hana from it. This concludes the first part of the perek, which is the story of the Eishes Avadya and the oil. Now we move on to the second of three stories that occurs in this perek, and that is the story of the Isha Hashunamis, where we will see that Elisha performs two miracles associated with this woman. First, you have this woman who is an Akara, she doesn't have children. Elisha brings about the blessing of a child, that's miracle number one. And then miracle number two is after the boy dies, he does a second miracle by bringing the boy back to life. So Pasuk Ches, let's begin. Vayi Ayoim, it happened one day, Vayavar Elisha El Shunem, that Elisha traveled to Shunem. Meaning, says the Da'as Sofer, that just like Shmuel, Elisha used to travel throughout the land, teaching the people and giving them Musar to do Tshuva. Shunem was a town in the valley of Yisrael, which we are familiar with from earlier. So Elisha's traveling through the town of Shunem, Sham Isha Gedoyla, and there was a very prominent woman there, and she persists, she insists that Elisha come to stay by her and to eat by her. And so it was that in the future, every time he would pass by, he would pass through the town, he would stop over there by this woman, to eat a meal, meaning that he made this a regular stop on his itinerary. Every time he went through Shunem, he would stop by this woman to eat a meal. So the pasuk refers to her as Isha Gedayla, the Radak says, meaning a prominent, well-to-do woman. Isha Gedayla can also mean that she was a great woman, that meaning that she was a tzadekes. And the Targum Yonasan says that the pasuk is telling you she goes out of her way to invite Elisha to be her guest because she was a great woman. She was a Yiras Shemayim. And the Maimloye says that she was highly regarded for her Maisim Toivim. And that's why Elisha accepts her offer. In fact, the Zohar writes that she was the Gedoyla Hadar. She was the greatest woman in her time. And the Balaturim says that she was even holding on the level of Yiras Shemayim as Sarah and Rivka. Da Seifrim says that this is such a special adjective, a special description, Isha Gedoyla, that it's not a title given out anywhere else in Tanakh. And we can even see her greatness from the way that she's described in the Psukim. She recognizes the needs of this holy man, of this Navi, and acted accordingly, both with humility and as well as asking nothing in return. And the Micha Katana adds that we see with her wealth, she easily could have had her husband pay someone, or she could have paid someone to tend to the Navi on their behalf, but instead, she insisted that they do this themselves, they occupy themselves with taking care of the Navi, and that is definitely the actions of a great person. So whichever pshat you learn in Isha Gedoyla, whether you learn like the Chemes Anach, which I didn't mention, Chemes Anach says it refers to her wealth, she was exceedingly wealthy, whether you learn like the Chemes Anach that it means wealth, or you learn like the Radak that it means prominence, chashivas, or you learn like the Balaturim that it means that she was a tzadekes, but no matter which pshat you learn, clearly the focus of the pasuk is on this woman as opposed to her husband. Because, says the Mefarshim, she clearly outshone her husband. In whatever aspect the Pasuk is complimenting her as an Isha Gedoyla, it's she is the Iker and he is the Tufel. Effectively, he was known as Mrs. So-and-so's husband. So what was the identity of this woman, especially a great Tzadekes who potentially was the greatest woman of her time? There's many opinions in the Midrashim. The Pirkei de Rebbe Elezer says that she was the sister of Avishag HaShunamis, the woman who attended David near the end of his life. The Radak says that she was the wife or mother of the Navi Idai. The Zohar says that the son that she was blessed with, that Elisha brought back to life, turns out to be the Navi Chavakuk.